3 Nephi chapter 25. In the beginning of this chapter, he makes it clear, though, that the people who are going to be killed in the last day, and there is going to be a great day when he begins to purge this earth, and those that that are at the top of his list are the proud. Again, what have we been accused of in the church over and over as being proud, of people that walks around with their head high because they are the chosen people instead of a bowed neck with their head down, thinking about what they need to do to worship the Lord and not caring about what other men think. We became the proudest people in all the land, and this is the greatest evil of Satan to us, lead the hearts of men away by making them proud, meaning make them lovers of themselves and care about their own high-mindedness and so forth. And so therefore, he is going to tread down the proud. And if you will fear the name of Jesus Christ and serve him, then he will support you, and he will surround you with his wings. Again, he's talking about when he's the hen taking care of his chicks. And the healing that is going to go on that he mentions in verse 2 is that you'll receive the afflictions of the proud, and he'll heal you. And in fact, he said that you shall tread down the wicked. I don't think that this obviously doesn't mean that we're to desire to go out and be bloodthirsty or do anything to the wicked. Our desires, as he said, has been to the Savior. He's just making this comment to imply that you will have the power of the earth. You really have the power because you have his power. And if he uses you, therefore, as an instrument, not to go out and really kill people, but because they come against you, which he said in the previous chapters, they will. The point here, though, is that we are to come unto the Lord, and then we will be his in that great and terrible day when he attacks when he purges the earth. Now, again, he then says in verse 4 that you're to just keep the law of Moses, or what he's saying is keep my commandments, and this is your charge. You're not, again, to worry about the what's going to happen to everybody else. Now, again, the point here is your focus is to be on the Savior, as he says in verse 2, and verse 4, to keep his commandments. That is where you're to have your focus. You're not to worry about all these terrible things and purging that is going on in the rest of the world. That is his work. And then he says in verse 5 and 6 about sending Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, again, we have to study that. Why would he say it's before the great and dreadful day of the Lord? The great and dreadful day is when he purges this earth of all the wicked people upon it, and it'll be a purging of a magnitude that is far greater than any time in history. And he said, and what does he say that will? What Elijah's purpose is? It's to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. And if he doesn't do this, then the entire earth would be cursed. We have to say, what is he talking about here? Well, we've heard people say, oh, this is the baptism for the dead, or this is the thing that maybe the Doctrine and Covenants says, or that this is the genealogy work. And the problem with these things is that all that people are looking for, because man looks to man and man looks to the Babylonian system, they want things to be administrative. So they only look to the administrative portion of this. What he is talking about, that Elijah is establishing again, is that he is going to reestablish the family order, and that's what he's bringing back. And he's bringing back you could call it the patriarchal priesthood. But he is reestablishing this family order. And what is a family order? That we raise up in our families, and we want to stay with our families. In the place where we live, that's where our families stay. And we're interested in being around other members of our families because they're our like kind. They're the ones that in heaven we aligned with because those are the ones that we had a greater affinity to for love and so forth. And it's the same thing here. It's easier for us to love our family. And by keeping a family unit in our communities, then there's greater love in the communities. And then it's then easier to love our fellow man because we're loving our own families. And again, that's the family order. Whether it's in the church administratively or whether it's the way we just order our communities. But the point is that we all raise up unto our families and we stay with our families. What do we do today? Today, when the child raises up, he goes off to the goes off into the business world or into Babylon, and everybody goes their own way in order to make a living and be part of this great world. Again, that's what they want. They want to be part of this great world, and the father wants to have a career. He's not interested in raising a family, and we have the government with all its programs to take care of the elderly, but it's hawking the youth, and saying that putting a burden on them in the future, meaning that these are examples of wickedness, that the elderly don't care about their posterity anymore, and the young, they don't care about the elderly. They don't want the elderly living with them, and everywhere we look, we find a great separation of the family order on the earth, and so therefore the family order is the order of heaven. And that will be reestablished. And if we cannot live with our families and desire to live with them throughout our lives, we do not desire to live with our Heavenly Father and His family in heaven. This also means other things like that a child, when he is becomes an adult, he is given a small home to live in so that he can get started. He's given a piece of land. Obviously, if we were a community of families, the entire community would be based on that. The entire church would be based on making sure that there's another plot of land for an inheritance for that family member who reaches adulthood. But we don't care about those things. We are not centered on our families. And if we wanted to have family businesses, or if we wanted to make things that are again a use to our community, we would do it again in our families, and then there would be plenty of workers to carry on any of these businesses. But the order of Zion is around the family and is structured around that family staying together. You will then note that in a Zion community that the families begin to intermix and they begin to have ties with other families, and there becomes a stronger bond to the community. It's based on family and love and brotherhood, and it's much easier then to have peace in that community and have people with a desire to help the other people of that community.